Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. It is the 20th of July. It is 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. And I'm here with the world famous Ashley.
And what?
Hi.
Happy National Moon Day, and it's National Get Out of the Doghouse Day.
Wait a minute. National Moon Day. Let's discuss that. Are we talking about the lunar moon here?
Yes. Okay. Which is actually interesting because we can't see it today. We are at a 0% new moon right now. So I'm not sure if they intended to put that on National Moon Day or not. That I don't have any notes on this particular thing. All my notes are about Lollipop Day.
Oh gosh.
Which is another important.
I tell you what, give us the weather first.
Okay.
Let's go into the days then.
There is some smoke expected throughout much of the Northern Valley today because we have a fair amount of fires in the area, but today will be our hottest day of the foreseeable future with a high of 106. Tomorrow we're going down to 104, and then we are looking at double digits until Friday, which would be 100 degrees. So if it's hot, then maybe put it off. If you're mowing your dry grasses and your lawns and all of that, maybe wait till Wednesday or Thursday when we're under 100 degrees, because it's going to be hot and smoky and miserable outside. So, you know.
My gosh.
Stay inside, read a book.
How hot is it going to be today?
106.
Okay. It's supposed to
miserable.
Be. Well, but you know what? You're sitting in an air-conditioned office.
Yep.
Driving an air-conditioned car. Drinking, well, okay. Did you fix that back window?
Yes.
Okay, so
it's not naturally ventilated anymore.
It's not naturally ventilated, and we'll tell that story. and you can have, like, iced tea and any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I was on the range yesterday, and it was, as you could, you know, guess it was hot. But on the range I had with me, I'd never met them before, Ron and Matt. Both of them, former Marines, young men, fought in Fallujah and Ramadi. One had two tours and was wounded there, and the other one was fortunate to go through without getting hit. And it was kind of like old home week because we'd all been there around the same time. And in fact, the second tour for Matt was, as my unit was leaving, his unit was coming on, 2-6. And the but it was interesting talking about heat, you know everybody's, you know, we're all out there like lizards, like you know, like that, and we started talking about how hot it got over there, and then wearing your combat gear, and the water's just warm. Yeah, I mean just warm, body temperature warm, and having to wear gloves so that you could touch anything. If you touched your rifle, you could get, you'd have a tendency to want to stick to your fingers.
Yeah.
But it was fun talking. Well, fun. It was, it was fun. It was, we all kind of shared a couple, you know, some experiences there. And when you're teaching people for the first time how to handle firearms, even though this class yesterday, it was, you know, most of them could outshoot me. It was interesting talking about how to keep yourself in your, you know, in stage yellow. And for me, it's condition yellow, which is you're watching everybody around you, but it's more like people watching. It is not like being on high alert with your hand on your gun or anything. It's just you being aware of everything, you know, things that are happening around you.
Yeah.
Like driving into the 7-Eleven. When you drive into the 7-Eleven, my friends, do you stop before you get out of the car, or just run in there? Or do you look inside the 7-Eleven, and I'm using 7-Eleven, it could be any convenience store, and see what's going on in there? There have been several policemen throughout the years have walked into a convenience store from the outside, and there's a robbery going on, and then all of a sudden there's a shootout because the guy starts shooting at the policeman, and it's fatal for the policeman. But just watching to see what's the counter person look like. If he's got his hands up in the air, you may not want to go in right then. Or if you see some things going on, you call 911 and you just don't go in. If you're walking down the street with your face buried in your phone, you become a target. You know, when you leave Safeway, and how they ever got the word safe into way, I'm not sure. But do you stop before you go out into the, you know, before you just go directly, especially at night, but before you go directly to your car, do you kind of see who's roaming around?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about that, how, you know, you're on this alert, and you can't stay on an orange. You can't stay into orange, which is you're prepared to fight. You've got plans and all this. Because that starts wearing on you. So, so when you're outside the wire, you're one thing. And then you're back inside the wire, you're supposed to, level down. But, it takes a while to do that. But for we as citizens out here, you don't have to be on constant, I'm going to get hurt alert. You've got to be on constant, though. And you can do it all the time. I call it people watching. Just watching about what's happening going on around you.
Oh, yeah.
It was a really good class yesterday, not just because those young Marines were in there. I had a reservist from Beale, a great young man, and his girlfriend who could shoot the eyes out of a gnat flying 100 yards away with a .22. Let me put it that way. She was a good shot. Everybody there. We've been filling these classes up at Northern Firearms. So many people wanting to take it, and every person I ask, why are you taking this class? And what do you think the answer is? Think it's because of their, it's my Second Amendment, I can do that. Yeah, I used to hear that a lot. I don't hear that anymore. What do you think is the main reason?
The state of politics.
Yeah. It's simple. It's more simple than that. It's a basic. I want to be able to protect myself and my family.
Yep.
One of the people that I ran into yesterday is a friend and owns Naked Coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice people. Very nice people over there. And it's a local business also. She has had three robberies. I'm not talking about break-ins. Three robberies since the COVID started, including one guy that had one of those big pipe wrenches, a knife, several other things on him, and attacked her counter guy. And he came back, got out, and fought the guy, got him into a headlock, and 40 minutes later, police show up.
But 40 minutes later.
Yeah. But she's been, you have six patrols for 60 square miles.
Oh, yeah.
And things are going on. It's sometimes, is the situation under control? Yes. But I need to get somebody here. Is the situation under control? No. That's where you see a lot of police.
Oh, yeah. That's the importance of being able to defend yourself.
Being able to defend yourself. So she's, so she holds him. But she says, I am afraid that somebody's going to come in there and do something, with a baseball bat or what. So she wants to be.
All of my training is non-military, not in law enforcement, any of that. All of my training is also not merciful in any regard. So if there is...
You have no rules of engagement?
They have to threaten somebody that is under my protection. And at that point...
But once that starts...
Once it starts, one of us is surviving. Because
even if they're no longer a threat?
I was taught that the most dangerous part of any fight is when you think it's over.
Well, that's
and
true.
And that's when they're going to come at you.
But once they are no longer a threat...
I can only be convinced of that if they're not getting up again.
Well, okay. But they're not. You've knocked them on the ground. They're not a threat. They're squealing. They have urinated on themselves. Are you going to go over and kick them in the head?
I will probably stand on their hand, at least. That way I can maintain full control. But I don't... Headlocks were never part of my training.
Well, no.
None of this submission stuff. Because if if I can't hold that position for 40 minutes, then it's not a position I'm going to maintain.
Well, we've had an interesting first 15 minutes here, haven't we? The weather reports are brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. And he wouldn't just step on somebody's hand for 40 minutes. Chuck and Judy, can you really nice people? Even though Chuck was a highly decorated helicopter pilot during Vietnam. And they're just great people. And they give discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. And we will be right back after these messages.
I can see by your eyes you must be lying. When you think I don't have a baby, you're crazy. If you think that you can fool me, because I've seen that movie too.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hey, Linda, show's over. Let's hop in the truck and head over to Country Kitchen for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Country Kitchen is open for that in-dining experience for breakfast and lunch 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Country Kitchen has their own in-house bakery, everything home-cooked with the freshest ingredients. Can I hear yum?
You can hear cinnamon rolls. Country Kitchen, locally owned for 27 years, located on Hilltop Drive in the Hillcrest Shopping Center.
Let's go!
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, I'm Congressman Doug LaMalfa. The coronavirus pandemic has caused our nation's blood supply to drop dangerously low. You can help end this shortage by giving blood. Giving blood is a safe, life-saving activity that's easy and painless. Trust me, I'm a 7-gallon donor myself. Visit lamalfa.house.gov/giveblood to find the blood donation center nearest you. Your donation could save a life. Paid for by official funds authorized by the United States House of Representatives.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Say what you want, body and soul. Then it's just your body.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is the 20th of July, and it is 7:19 in the morning, and the temperature is about,
74 degrees.
74 degrees, going up to 106 today. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number. That's right. When's the last time you got, with all this stuff going on, are you able to sleep at night? Are you able to get the rest? Some of the things that can help you is, you have to create a peaceful place to sleep. You can actually have ambient noise, maybe the sound of a fan because of the heat, or, something in the background to help cover up the different kinds of noise out there. Don't drink caffeine past 3 p.m. and keep your bedroom at a cool temperature. Well, if you can, with the temperatures running 106, 107. But if you can keep your bedroom a little bit cooler, it's going to work. And create a before-bed routine so that you can helps calm your mind. And Sleep Number, when you talk to the when it's compared to average sleepers, Sleep Number bed owners enjoy almost an hour's more sleep per night. And the thing about our bed is my Sleep Number setting is 55 and Linda's Sleep Number setting is 45. And we can adjust that. It's comfortable. If for some reason that you want your bed to be a little more firmer, you can fix that way. You don't have to settle for something that's just not quite right when you're sleeping at night. But Sleep Number gives you that opportunity. And our Sleep Number store is located over there at the Target Shopping Center next to the Vitamin Shop. And you should go in there and take a look at it. They've got just a number of great, great beds. They also have other accessories that go with it, pillows. They actually have something that fits on the top of your bed and can cool you or heat you during the night. Take a look at it. Sleep Number. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the fires that are going on. I had a fireman. Also, a firefighter, young man in there yesterday, Alex, that was also a student, but he's also a firefighter. He was telling me that they've got teams in a variety of different areas already. But what do our fires look like around here, Ashley?
We have two major fires going on in the area. One of them is 5,800 acres, which is just west of Susanville. That's the Hog Fire. That is 0% contained as of this morning. The Badger Fire is a little closer to home. That one is in Siskiyou County. Hot, dry conditions overnight. So I am looking at a tweet from CAL FIRE saying 350-plus acres with 5% containment. All evacuation warnings and orders remain in place. The cause is still under investigation for the Badger Fire.
Okay.
So those are our two major fires going on this morning.
Well, we also had an announcement that along the river trail, we had some fires over there by Turtle Bay, and they caught the guy that did it.
Oh, good.
And he did it because he was bored. He started fires. He started fires because he was bored.
I'm guessing that's not the actual reason. That's just what he told them.
He was high.
Yeah.
But I just started the fires. The other big one is how many times, Ashley, would you say we talk about don't leave a child in a car?
Obviously, one person didn't listen to our show because we were mentioning that often.
We talk about it all the time. When it's, and this was, I believe, either Saturday or Sunday, but either day, the temperatures were over 100 degrees. A policeman was one of our local guys. Was doing something, and he looks over, and he sees this guy walk into a convenience store, and he saw a child in the back seat. So he went over there, and he had seen the guy enter, when he went over there, he saw the child in the back seat, obviously distressed. So he opens up the back door. It wasn't locked. Opened up the back door to start getting some air in there, and called 911 to get an ambulance or a fire truck there because the child was in distress, and the father eventually comes out 12 minutes later, and how fast does it take for a car to get up to the 120 degree range when it's already 100? It takes like 8 minutes, and then it goes hotter. Turns out Pop was intoxicated. Didn't want to leave his kid at home, but he didn't leave the air conditioning on in the car. He didn't bring the kid in, or he didn't even break the windows. So he was arrested for, I think it was public intoxication and child endangerment. I'm sure he's out now, but still, this is somebody left their child in the car. Now, when we start talking COVID, we've had, right now, we have 242 cases in Shasta County. The latest cases, 7 new cases Sunday, 3 had symptoms, none were hospitalized, included a girl under the age of 13, a boy under the age of 13, 2 women in their 20s, 2 men in their 20s, and a woman in her 30s. So the optimum seems to be optimum age group here is anywhere from 20 to 30. We're seeing the most cases at. There have been 242 cases in Shasta County since March. Not all of those patients currently have coronavirus. There were 31 active cases as of Sunday, and a total of 7 people have died from the disease. 28 people were in isolation, while another 142 were in quarantine. So when you look at the number of cases, Butte County is way out in front of everybody, and Modoc County has no cases.
Yep.
And yet,
never had any cases. You know,
we are not on that 32 county watch list. And right now,
Butte County is, I believe.
Yeah, Butte County is. But we aren't. The School Board of Education for Shasta County is planning on opening the schools up. I think that's a good idea. They're going to be masked from, I think, the third grade up, they're masked.
Yeah. When was the last time you were able to have, like, a kid keep their shirt on, much less a
mask? That's why I think they're thinking about, from the third grade up, they understand the idea of somebody says, keep the mask on. They're going to socially distance and all that. They may even do. I know in New Mexico, they're only working 4-day weeks, Tuesday mm-hmm. through Friday, because on Monday, they're doing deep cleaning of the schools every week.
And I know one of the models being tossed around is splitting the school in half. And so your kid either gets mornings or evenings, and then so that they can socially distance more and have fewer people but still get as many kids through the school.
Sure.
You just have a back-to-back.
But we need to start the schools. And I tell you what, and this isn't just Carl saying this. You know, we had, of course, on the interview Friday with McKenzie, went out and spoke to other high school students that were going to be seniors and sophomores and this. Every one of them wanted to come back to school. They wanted to come back to school, and they really didn't care about proms and all this. But one of them did because he's on the basketball team. He said, I kind of wanted to be able to play basketball, but, you know, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I just want to go back to school. They don't believe that distance learning is giving them the full, you know, they're not learning as much through this, through the Zoom classes. And, you know, one of them said, you know, some of the teachers just aren't good at this. And it's about getting the information out on one of these, they work really well in front of an audience, but they're sitting there in front of a computer screen,
mm-hmm.
it just isn't the same. And then I read something from an educator from back east that said, you can't put us at risk by having classes open again. So this is going to be a battle. This is the next battle when we open up schools. But now Newsom, at any time, as we've learned, can shut down everything.
Yeah.
Which has a really debilitating effect on the economy. And then if he wants to shut down, schools because we don't, that are distancing, have masks and all this, then at some point I would think he would shut down large gatherings of people, either on the beach, if they're close together, a protest, something like that. You know, he would have to at least get everybody. You know, he can't pick and choose the businesses he's going to run for no reason. And when you look at our county, has had 242 cases since March. We have 3 people maybe in the hospital at this point. We've got all the room there if something happened, but he still shut down all the restaurants, all the bars. And he could step it up and then go after the churches, gyms, everything else today.
Yep.
Newsom at noon. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to have Hal Johnson with us. And Hal is going to talk about masks when we get back in here. And it's, you know, it's interesting. I've been watching what's going on in Facebook. You know what? Facebook has become a
battleground.
A battleground. It's always been kind of a mini battleground, but it has really, really picked up here in the last 4 months. This portion of the show is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, where they have the people that are sick and are being treated. They've had they had the first group that came in there. We've had the doctor that treated COVID on here. He couldn't be more serious about it. But Shasta Regional is a place you really need to think about if you're ill or if you have to go to an emergency room. The emergency room, they're seeing people in under 30 minutes. And now, since it's been less people going into the emergency room, they're seeing people in 19 minutes or under. So, you know, if you're not feeling well and you're sick and there's something going on, you want to know that somebody's going to be looking at you, a medical professional, you know, when time you walk in there, and then you're going to have be seeing the person, seeing the doctor there or the PA to make sure that you're, you know, to start treating what's going on with you. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. We'll be right back after these messages.
Working from home? Conference calls?
You're still on mute, John.
With everything we have going on right now, it's never been more important to get the sleep we need. Quality Sleep is a natural immune booster, and only the Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides. Your Sleep Number setting. So, all those other things we're doing to stay healthy and happy, well, they'll work better too. Save 25% on the Sleep Number 360 C4 smart bed with any smart adjustable base. Plus, special financing on all smart beds ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Free Fire Radio. It's a target-rich environment.
Monster Rage! Monster Rage! Monster Rage! Monster Rage!
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating over 10 years on the air. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming throughout the world. Just hop on to our chat room at KCNR1460.com. You can make comments. You can, if you can't get us someplace because, for whatever reason, for the signal, just get on your computer. Of course, if you can't hear me right now, that's not doing you any good. And if you're on your computer already, yeah, we knew that. So, good morning. With me today, I've got Hal Johnson. And I read Facebook. I try not to get involved. I can't help it sometimes. I mean, I just can't help it sometimes. I've found out that I'm a racist, misogynistic, bad person because I'm thinking about voting for Trump. I'm a Nazi. And this is from people I know. And I always go back to this one person, Christine, who is just adorable. And I say, Christine, really, am I? She, oh, no, you're not. But when you forward these things on and share these things, you immediately, you know, you immediately become part of it at that point. That's I may just go without Facebook for a week just to see.
It's really refreshing.
It is. I'm sure it is. It's like the McElveins, Adam McElvein, the mayor, went on an 18-day trip. They left all of their phones at home. The kids, theirs. He had a burner phone that he gave the numbers to six people in case the house burnt down or there was health problems. He said the first couple of days was tough, but after that, we're okay. So one of the things I'm following, of course, is this mask. And my guest is Hal Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl. And nice to finally meet you in person.
Well, it's nice meeting you because you know I watch what you write and all these things. And tell us a little bit about you.
I was born and raised down in Oxnard, California, down in Ventura County. When I met up with my high school sweetheart again after 19 years, she was living here in Redding, so I came up here. We were both 37 years old. Neither of us had ever been married, and 5 months later we got married, and I've been living in Shasta County since 1994.
Okay.
Our son was born 26 years after our first date.
Well,
I've never been one to hurry into things.
Well, you know what? At least you did. At least you weren't, you know, being too forward back there when you first met. You know, I have very close friends that were high school sweethearts, and then life happened, and years later, just like this, like 20 years later, you know, he comes back here. They had tenuously kept in touch through, a letter now and then. How are you? They both had been married and then all of this. And they got back together and they're just so happy. And you hear these things where people go back to their high school reunions, fall in love again.
Yeah. I've heard a few stories from Shasta County residents.
Yeah.
In the musical community, folks that knew each other in high school or even earlier.
Yeah.
And got back or got together years later.
Yeah. So tell us, so you've been here since 1994 and around that. And so what do you do? You were brought back here, of course, by your love. So what have you done here since you've been here?
Well,
if I may ask.
Yeah. I've been retired from my real job for 6 years now. I spent 4.5 years in the Army as a helicopter pilot.
You're a helicopter. Okay. Thank you for your service, buddy.
Well, thank you, and thank you for yours. I'm always a little embarrassed to tell you the truth when people thank me because I was probably in the military in one of the safest times in U.S. history to be in the military, especially being a helicopter pilot when you consider Vietnam, how many pilots mm-hmm. and crew chiefs died over there. It was one of the more dangerous jobs. Although probably not as dangerous as being an infantry second lieutenant or a medic.
An infantry second lieutenant was about 14 minutes. So
I shouldn't laugh, but...
Well, no, but that was it, you know, because they're out there giving directions, and it's coming to a hot LZ, and they didn't last long.
Yeah.
Because they were leaders. Well, when were you in then?
I was in from 1974 until 1979.
Yeah.
Was unemployed.
Vietnam was just over.
Yeah, and, the fall of Saigon happened soon after I started flight school, and I was one of, we had a class of 16. The Army really didn't need helicopter pilots then because Vietnam was essentially over, other than troops around Saigon.
Yeah.
And I remember the looks on the TAC officers' faces and my classmates, most of whom were had been enlisted crew chiefs when they applied for flight school, and the looks on their faces when Vietnam fell.
Yeah. After all that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and to tell you the truth, I don't know to this day whether we were justified in going into Vietnam, but I feel like we left too early. We basically just left them holding the bag with not even financial support.
Yeah.
And I haven't met a couple of Vietnamese gentlemen who spent years in prison after we left.
Yeah.
It kind of leaves a
mark. Being re-educated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so, gosh, I could get some other people in here. We could be talking about this one for 4 days, Vietnam. But, you know, this is the way I look at it, Hal. You know, you enlisted. Well, you came in as you were a warrant officer then.
Yeah, I was enlisted. We went through flight school enlisted. Now they do it a little differently. You go through a little sort of an OCS program, and then you're appointed as a warrant officer, go through, which I would have liked to have done it that way, but they didn't give me the choice.
But you'd already, but you see, you'd written that check. And, you know, the it wasn't cashed, which is good. But you were there. And this way, look, you know, people come, you know, people sometimes are just kind of like you is, well, you know, I served it, but I didn't serve in combat. But you were there and you would have gone. So there's no difference. There's no difference in my opinion. You can't even, used to say, well, reserves. Can't even say that anymore. Those men and women and National Guard are up there in the front lines.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't say anything about it.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame being in the Guard and Reserves nowadays. When I was in, it was basically, you know, it's maybe I should feel bad for saying this, but it really did seem like a social club.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that way anymore.
Not anymore. They're doing one of the first young enlisted soldiers I met in Fallujah. Had been there 10 months. He was in a National Guard unit out of Minnesota, and he had another 6 months to go. I said, you guys are in here for like 16 months? And he goes, oh, yeah. And I thought to myself, listen, the Marines weren't, the active duty Marines are, you know, we weren't in there for 16 months. We'd come in there, some units would come in for 6 months, and I was there for a little bit over a year, but 16 months?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, now, I'm going to take an early break. So I want to talk about this question of mask. And you, if you don't know who Hal is, and you probably wouldn't mess with Hal. I mean, I'm just saying that. You seem like a very, very gentle soul and all this. But Hal is not a small person he looks like he picks up logs every morning and walks around with them. So you probably wouldn't pick a fight with him just because you wanted to, you know, try to express your emotions. But on the chat rooms, the keyboard courage is rolling through there, is what I call it, because you don't know who the person is, or even if you do, it's kind of like, well. You wouldn't really say that to my face, would you? You know, you don't say that, but it's true. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come right back, and let's talk about masking.
Let's see, coffee, got it, radio, dialed in, check, showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right, join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with.
Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in, which saves you time and money. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com and like us on Facebook, or find Premier Oil Change in Wairika on Main Street behind the Valero station. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 at your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. 7:47 in the morning here on the 20th of July, about 76 degrees, going up to 106 today. So this might be the time to do something like go for your walk or take your dog out now, before it gets too late. Hey, I'm sitting here with Hal Johnson, who is a former helicopter pilot in the Army, and this. And the reason I had Hal in is because I've been watching him in some of his comments. I mean, you're a musician too, is that correct?
Yeah. After a 30-year break, after when I retired as a helicopter pilot, I got back into music.
That's great. And then, so I kind of like was starting, you know, watching, you know, that. But then, you have become an advocate for wearing masks.
Yeah,
can I say that?
Yeah, that's a good statement.
And so, what convinced you that you should wear a mask all the time?
You know, we were just talking about, there seems to be a lack of peer-reviewed studies, either pro or anti-mask.
Mm-hmm.
But the small studies that are being done and the anecdotal evidence behind the advisability of wearing a mask seems to be mounting, in my view. Early on, during the virus crisis, I decided to wear one. Well, first of all, because my wife believed in wearing one, and am I going to go out of the house without wearing a mask when my wife says, no, this is a good idea? No, I'm not that brave.
Yeah, none of us are.
But also, I thought it was fascinating that, again, not a lot of peer-reviewed studies concerning it, but in Japan, you know, since the Spanish flu of 1918, it's sort of become part of the culture in Japan to wear a mask during the flu and cold season. And it's become so entrenched in their culture that people wear them just for show, even when they don't feel like they need them. It's apparently they sell over a billion masks per year in Japan.
Wow.
And they're not all, a lot of them are just prettied up, you know.
When you go to Japan, you see a lot of people, especially because they're, you know, it's crowded. First of all, it's extremely crowded there. But you see the majority of people wearing masks for sure. It becomes almost like if you see somebody without a mask, you kind of wonder.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of pushback because from people about wearing the mask, though. That, you know, I think the primary argument is the mask will not stop the virus. The virus is too small. And so why should I wear a mask?
Right. And I can see, you know, the immediate logic of that, but the fact is that the, you know, if you encounter, say, for use an extreme example, three virus particles go down your nose, you're probably not going to get COVID. It takes a certain load.
Uh-huh.
And what the mask does, the main means of transmission, so proponents say, is through aerosol and droplets.
Right.
You know, you don't just get the virus by itself. It's attached to aerosol or droplets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the mask mainly seems to help with is, there's still people that don't seem to accept this, but it mainly, if I'm wearing a mask, it prevents me from giving it to you sitting 6 feet away. Although there have been some recent studies, I was just reading in an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago, that are suggesting that masks protect the wearer more than they originally thought. Even, you know, double layer fabric masks, homemade.
Right. You know. Well, you know, this is the thing that because I was kind of ambivalent about masks. I'd wear it sometimes. I wouldn't wear it sometimes. I've noticed here in just in the last couple of weeks, more and more people are wearing masks. I was in one establishment, we talked a little bit about it, 2 weeks ago, hardly anybody. I was one of the, like, two of us wearing it in there. And then this week, 2 weeks later, came back in there, it was like 90% of the people in there were wearing it. Yeah. So there's something going on here. So here's the question is this. If it prevents those droplets from leaving you, or somebody else, and then you're wearing a mask that can also help prevent the droplets from, you know, from entering into your system. Why not?
Yeah, and I have to tell you, you know, I have some very liberal friends, and I have some very conservative friends.
As we all do. Yeah.
The company I worked for 34 years, PHI, as a helicopter pilot, a civilian helicopter pilot after I left the Army, I would say easily 70% of our pilot pool of 700 folks are registered Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm used to dealing with different points of view.
Sure.
You know, I've always found it interesting. But I have to say I was kind of both surprised and dismayed how the issue of wearing masks turned into another issue of partisan divide. I don't really understand it.
Well, we can go on and on about that. I think that there's three reasons right now. Is one, Trump's president and the media hates him. There's an election going on coming up. So what, you know, a perfect way to keep dividing our country. And we seem to keep falling for their BS. And I think that and the third one is people are scared. And when they're scared, when you have fear, fear leads to anger. And nobody's quite sure. I just saw a bunch of pictures sent to me from 1918 from people wearing masks. And one of them says, go to jail if you don't wear a mask. I mean, these are pictures from 1918 and that how they were handling it back there. And they believed it worked. In fact, that's where social distancing began. What's the main pushback you get? I mean, so cause people are getting angry.
Yeah, and including some longtime friends. You know, nothing particularly ugly, but it's almost like And only in a couple of cases, like I'm some sort of traitor because I advocate wearing masks. You know, and in a way, I feel that way. I'm sort of a half-baked libertarian. I don't really like the idea that the government is telling us what to do with our time or our bodies or any of that. You know, on the face of it, if you don't want to wear a mask, well, why should you have to wear a mask? It's just that, again, the main value of it is you 6 feet away from me is it'll hopefully, and I'm sure they're not, I think they're probably 70% effective when I'm red. That's my swagging it. But it makes it much less likely that I'm going to infect you 6 feet away or 3 feet away or whatever the case may be.
And if you have friends, too, that are in those, you know, vulnerable groups, the you know, when at the beginning of this, Linda was not well because of an infection that hit her. And so, that put her in the hospital for 4 days.
Oh,
and
so,
so she was fighting this infection. It wasn't COVID, but it was something that weakened her immune system. So we kept staying inside the house all the time. I'd come back from work and just strip out there and take a shower and put all my clothes in a bag just to make sure that, you know, that I wasn't bringing it into her. But, you know, the fact is that there are vulnerable populations. Older people, people with lung problems. One of my co-hosts here has got a real bad lung condition, and she just hit out. And she's coming out now, but she's masked. And if we can help that group, because last three people that I've heard about with COVID had no symptoms at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But they can still spread it.
And that's the maddening thing about it. You know, if you're coughing and sneezing in one morning, normally you think, okay, well, I'll stay home or at the very least put a mask on. There are people out there that will never know they have it, and yet they're spreading it.
And now people, I think the main objection is the government's telling you to do this. And the government has been giving such varying opinions on this from the beginning. COVID's not that, you know, it's not that bad to, it's really bad, so you should do this. Well, no, you shouldn't do this. You should take this kind of medicine. No, you can't take that kind of medicine. I think there's been so many different opinions on this that this is, you know, people are saying, well, you know, here's the government totally taking over my life. They've shut down my business. I can't go, you know, my kid can't go to school. I can't go to church. I mean, people are just angry, and this is just that final thing on there. Oh, by the way, you have to mask up.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. If all these shutdowns hadn't happened, and you know our leaders were just strongly encouraging us to wear a mask, maybe people would have a different attitude. Also, we have a Democratic governor. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but on a news cafe where I write the live music column, or did.
Right.
Suspended that, obviously, because there's not much live music going on. But a fellow named Bruce is one of the a news cafe, obviously, I'm sure no news to you, but it tends to skew left in its leadership and or its readership and the folks that comment.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce, who grew up in Shasta County but now lives in Arizona, is one of the conservative commentators.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Facebook friends with him. Really like the guy. Just a super big heart. But he suggests that people in Arizona, which is a conservative state, are much more accepting of wearing masks because they have a Republican governor.
Hmm. Well, that could be, but their numbers have exploded down there.
And I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. In Shasta County, I mean, okay, we're alarmed that we have, what, 240 people now?
Yeah, 247 cases since March.
That's out of, what, 185,000 people in the county. That's not a very big percentage.
Yeah, and we're not in that group, which is one of the things that kind of is infuriating, is that we're being treated just like the counties that have huge amounts. So, anyway, I'm here with Hal Johnson, and I got to let him go because I have another 8 o'clock guest, but I could keep you in here for another half an hour. But I really appreciate you coming in.
Well, thanks for the invitation.
Well, it won't be the last time, I tell you that, because you're that middle of the road guy. You got a conservative background, more of a libertarian, but you also look at individual rights as a libertarian does, and I have a right to wear that mask.
Yeah,
kind of thing. Yeah,
exactly.
Thanks a lot, Hal.
Thank you.
You bet. Hey, when we come back, we're going to be with the Shasta County citizens advocating respect.
President Trump to talk about it. Senate Majority Leader McConnell expected to unveil a $1 trillion proposal soon, while in the House, Democrats are pushing a $3 trillion plan. And amid the surge in coronavirus cases, a couple of pharmaceutical companies reporting encouraging results in early trials of COVID-19 vaccines. In Portland, Oregon.
Portland, it is time to stand up.
The president of the Portland Police Union calling on citizens to demand their political leaders do something to quell unrest in the city. Last night was the 53rd straight night of violence, with the headquarters of the Portland Police Association ransacked and set on fire. Rioting in Seattle as well. A crowd of vandals armed with baseball bats took to the streets of downtown, damaging businesses and messing up traffic. The gunman was dressed as a delivery driver. He killed the son of a federal judge and wounded her husband yesterday at their home in New Jersey.
Officials say 20-year-old Daniel Andrel, the only child of U.S. District Judge Esther Salas, was killed in the attack, which wounded her husband, Mark Andrel, a criminal defense attorney. Salas was in the basement at the time and wasn't injured, according to a judiciary official who spoke anonymously to the AP. Salas was just assigned a case against Deutsche Bank involving Jeffrey Epstein. Another high-profile case she presided over was Real Housewives of New Jersey reality TV stars Teresa and Joe Giudice, who she sentenced to prison for crimes including bankruptcy fraud and tax evasion. I'm Julie Walker.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the House is honoring the late Georgia Congressman John Lewis today with a moment of silence. Wall Street, the Dow down 66 points, the NASDAQ 113 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-308-7862. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-308-7862 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-308-7862 to see if you qualify. That's 800-308-7862.
An inquiry in Australia looking into how security breaches may have undermined the state of Victoria's COVID-19 hotel quarantine program. The BBC's Phil Mercer in Sydney.
This judicial inquiry is led by a former judge called Jennifer Coate, and she said in her opening address that she is expecting full and frank cooperation from various witnesses. She is due to hand down her report in late September, trying to get to the bottom of the sources of infections that threatens to derail Australia's earlier success in trying to tackle the virus.
The United Arab Emirates has sent a spacecraft into orbit from a Japanese launch center. The launch earlier today, the start of a seven-month journey to Mars. It's also the Arab world's first interplanetary space mission. News and analysis at townhall.com. Something we can't live without, the focus of unrest in Mexico.
Farmers once again clashed with Mexican military forces to protest releases of water from a Mexican dam to repay a water debt owed to the United States. A video showed tear gas canisters being fired over the heads of protesters Sunday at the Las Virginas Dam in the northern border state of Chihuahua, where farmers say they need the water for local crops. But under a 1944 treaty, Mexico owes the United States about 415,000 acre-feet that must be paid by October 24th. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Disney reportedly dramatically slashing its advertising budget on Facebook, as well as Facebook-owned Instagram. It is the latest setback for the social network facing a growing advertising boycott over its policies and actions on hate speech on its platforms. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning. We'll be back Wednesday with us. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone line 0605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. It is the 20th of July, 8:05 in the morning, and the news brought to us by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, encourage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. I'm here with Ashley at the helm, and Ashley is going to tell us kind of what the weather looks like, and don't just say hot.
Well, that pretty much sums up the weather.
but you have to get into it. Okay.
So we are looking at a high of 106 degrees, which is today, which is the highest we're going to see for pretty much the rest of the week. By Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to be getting into the double digits, so yay. So if you have to mow a lawn or whatever, wait till then. We are looking at a bit of a south wind this afternoon. With this evening, we're going to have a lot more of a south wind, so gusts could be as high as 24 miles per hour. If you have something that's particularly keen on flying away, then make sure it's pinned down. But we are getting a little bit of wind throughout the rest of the week, between 10 and 15 miles per hour for the most part. Those in the afternoon are going to be keeping us cooler as they pick up. We call those the Delta Breeze.
Okay. Hey, weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, locally operated, veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793. A lot of things have happened in the last couple months in Redding. Big changes, little changes. You know, we can look at the physical changes of downtown. We can look at the amount of work that people are doing around here. People are not giving up. The fact we had so many businesses shut down. But there was a pivotal point when a gentleman by the name of George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis. And people go back, well, he was a thug. He was this. Yeah, okay. That's fine. I don't care. And he's been in jail, and he's done all these things. But what happened to him with him being flat on his face for 8.5 minutes, and he died, which led to probably one of the biggest upheavals of social on the social fabric
consciousness
in our country that is still to this day going on, with the people protesting here in Redding, having people protest. Three different protests, four different protests. Now they're not seeing those protests, but throughout the country they're still protesting. There's been an incredible amount of violence. It's led to and I think in Portland it was like 47, 48 straight days of riots at night. But it doesn't discount of the thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that marched for justice after George Floyd was killed. And it kind of, we started looking at this, and we had Jasmine and Jasmine Victoria, who was one of the organizers of the protest march on, and to listen to what and why. And then I attended a press conference from Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect, and there was no overthrow of the government. There was no let's rip down the statues of Mr. Redding, if there is a Mr. Redding, or anything like that. It was reaching out in our community to make equality an issue. Not that they, we had all the police elements were there, from the DA through the sheriff and to the police chief, other people that are, into the social fabric of our community. And I thought after that, I said, you know, it's a lot of people don't know who the Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect are. So I invited Susan Wilson on, and I think we've got somebody who's trying to find the station is on his way.
Yeah.
Also, so good morning. Lean into that. You've got a soft voice.
Tell us about
SCAR.
So the Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect is an organization, a nonprofit organization that's been around for years, back in the last century, so to speak. And when we first started, we were known as the Shasta County Citizens Against Racism, mm-hmm. because our whole beginning was around racism and the issues that faced our county regarding racism. As we evolved, we decided that really what we're after is advocating respect. We're after civil discourse on issues. So it goes right back to what you were talking about. You know, we want to work well with people. We want to listen to people. We want to hear what they say. We want to be less judgmental about what people believe, because we all have our own beliefs. You know, you and your family have your own culture. You work a radio show that has its own culture. And one of the things that we need to do is just listen to other people and get their word out there. So that was the reason for our press conference, actually, mm-hmm. you know, is saying, okay, this happened. Let's talk about it locally. What does that mean to us locally? You know,
sure.
And
then the other thing, too, that you pick up on this is there's people I respect in your organization. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got a policeman on your board, I believe.
We got a policeman on our board, and Chief Schuler is going to be attending our meetings.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good stamp of approval, so
yeah.
to speak.
And the officer that was on your board,
Mark Montgomery.
Montgomery is the one that reached
yes.
out into the crowd, and the whole thing changed.
Yes.
The whole thing changed.
He changed the whole mood,
the whole
temper.
The whole mood changed when
yeah.
he went out there, because it was, we're upset. Oh, he recognizes that, and he's reached out.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole tenor of the mob, the group, it wasn't a mob. Well, you know what?
No, it wasn't a mob, but it was a lot of people.
It was a lot of people, and here's the thing: this is a typical Shasta County. We have our big protest going on, people yelling, screaming, and all this. And the next morning, it looks like the place is absolutely cleaner than it was when they started. You know, that's a Shasta County could be used as a primer.
That's
for
right.
this whole nation.
That's right.
We had militia. We had really strong advocates against militia, and
we had police
and
people.
Police people, and then people against police, and yet we all ended up locking arms, singing the national anthem. Everybody goes home, and then some people, right? They're angry because
mm-hmm.
nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that to me was totally wrong. I mean, just totally wrong. That because it ended the way it should, and it ended up with no violence, nothing being broken,
mm-hmm.
people being able to express themselves because they're frustrated on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, probably even more than two sides.
There's probably
many
four,
other
five,
sides,
six sides
there.
Going
yeah,
there. You
exactly.
know, yeah, you know, I'm you know not just black justice, but I'm looking for everything with
LGBTQ.
I'm sorry.
And the rest of the initials.
And all the rest of the initials. Yeah, right, because it was out there. I want to take a break when we come back. I want to talk about, in your opinions, I mean, we have like 3% of our community is of color.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
a small number.
I mean, it's like 3%.
Small percentage.
Yeah, and the and this was some of the questions, you know, this is some of the opposition. We're saying, wait a minute. We haven't ever, you know, we haven't had problems. Well, maybe we have, but just haven't seen them.
That's right.
Because, you know, if it doesn't happen to you, it doesn't happen to you. But if it does happen to you, now it is a big problem. So let's talk a little bit about that when we get back. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. And let me tell you, Judy Maxwell is the guru of insurance. if you're having problems with it, and you know, with the new health insurance rules, with the you know, the fire season is back, and our insurance companies are happening to be canceling people and homes, Judy can help you. She goes far beyond the, you know, the bounds of mortal people when it comes to finding insurance. We have our life insurance with Judy because she found this great rates that work for us. Plus, the fact is that she's helped many of our friends get fire insurance again, get homeowners insurance again. This is Judy Maxwell Insurance and Financial. She's been doing it since 1993, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. Give her a call at 221-0441. We'll be right back.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our urgent care clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision.
Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number here at 20 in the morning, 75 degrees going up to 106 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, and Home Helpers is bringing us a segment. Home Helpers and Sharon Clark started this on her kitchen table literally 16 years ago, has expanded quickly, and she is looking for caregivers. She has the most amazing caregivers out there. She's got the best home help network in Northern California by far. If you feel like you've got those qualities that you want to help people, you want to be able to assist those in need, whether it's just a couple hours a day or be part of a group that's, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, Sharon Clark and Home Helpers is the organization that you want to join. Give them a call at 226-8350 or learn more at readinghomehelpers.com. I'm here with Susan Wilson of the Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. They've been around since the last century. Isn't that something you can say something like that?
I love it.
I was around the last century. I fought wars in the last century and this century. You know, I kind of feel like a little big man. You know, you're 112 years old and you've done all these things. The advocating respect is just that.
That's right.
No matter who you are, if you are a Caucasian, you know, you want to be treated respectfully. If you're a person of color, you want to be treated respectfully. You want to treat people like you want to be treated. I mean, to me, that's a very simple thing there. But people say we have no problems like that in Shasta County. What would you say to that? We don't have racial problems. People are being treated fairly.
I would say probably that's a naive look at Shasta County. I don't think that we have horrendous problems. I don't think we have bad problems. But we do have this thing that I would call institutional racism. And institutional racism is something that's built into the way that we do business. I've been reading this book by Michelle Alexander called The New Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting book. It was on the bestseller list in 2010 for something like a year. I mean, mm-hmm. week after week after week. And she has revised it since George mm-hmm. Floyd. That was a quick revision, I must say. she has revised it. And she talks about this thing called institutional racism. And that is where, because of the culture that we live in as white mm-hmm. people with white privilege, we have made rules that we might not otherwise have. She talks a lot, for example, about how do people get to borrow money? Mm-hmm. You know, do you have to go through an extra hoop because you're not white? You know, and in Shasta County, the issue for us is we're 90%+
about 97%.
White. Yeah. You know, and then we have a smattering of individuals, a small percentage that are Native American, small percentage African American, even a small percentage that would identify as Hispanic, mm-hmm. which generally fall into white.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to think about this in bigger terms. You know, race is not the only thing that causes problems. So we know that, for example, years ago, you remember the Gary Mattson murders, you know, LGBTQ
mm-hmm.
type.
That was before my time, I believe.
That was before?
Yeah.
Okay.
That were the two brothers took the guy out and killed him?
Yeah, that's correct. And his partner.
Yeah.
So we do have a smattering of what I would call inability to accept what the other person is, you know. And so that's why I teach a class actually called Civil Discourse, you know, and we talk very basically. We say, first, you have to listen. You have to listen. You have to shut your mouth, your personal mouth, and you have to listen to what the other person has to say. Second, ask clarifying questions. Not rude, not obnoxious, just what did you mean when you said? So that you develop a clear picture of what the other person is actually saying. One of the things that we always advise is if there is silence in the conversation, Don't feel like you have to fill it. Let that silence sit there. Well, both of you think about what you've just heard that caused that silence. You know, I think that that moving on to something like civil discourse is really a good step. So can I use an example? I'll use an example for SCAR. Chief Schuler, after the press conference, he had his staff call up and say, the chief would like to be attending your board meetings. I said, great. You know, we have Mark Montgomery, who we've already talked about, who's just great also, but it would be wonderful to have the chief there. So one of the things that we're going to do with the RPD, APD, Anderson Police Department, with the Sheriff's Office, and with the California Highway Patrol is we've put together a series of questions that we're going to interview them and ask them to answer about how do they manage this, how do they manage that, so that they become aware that we're aware of what they do. You know, we're going to talk about how do we avoid an issue like the George Floyd issue. I mean, that was an accident. Nobody went out and said, oh, let's kill somebody today.
It wasn't an accident.
The incident was an accident.
It was not premeditated.
Right. It was not premeditated. Right. Thank you for fixing my language.
Well, no, it's just, but what bothered me the most about this George Floyd thing is not that he just kept his knee on like that. There were three other officers there. And nobody did anything. Now, one of them's a rookie who's just kind of, you know, when you're a rookie, you're waiting for directions.
Yeah.
But the three other people there, and my son's in law enforcement, and he says, if we have something like this, and you're fighting guys, and they're fighting people all the time, if after they've got them, and he's a supervisor, nobody hesitates for saying, okay, move your hand, you know. Or move your knee, because he uses that. He uses that because sometimes that is the only way you can keep people down like that until you can get them cuffed. It was nobody said anything, and nobody did anything. And as my son says, oh, no, they always can't breathe. They always can't breathe when you're trying to get, you know, they always are saying that, I can't breathe while you're trying to handcuff them. But that's when you shift how you're doing it, so then you get them up. Because once they've got the cuffs on them, okay, now we have to take care of them in the sense of making sure they're okay.
Make sure that they're safe.
Yeah, that they're safe. Right. That's right.
Right. It's interesting when you think about the police versus a human being interaction. And I think that one of the things that we're looking at is use of force policies. And what force is used under what circumstances for everybody,
right?
You know, the body is a really interesting thing. And one of the things that happens to people who are scared of the police is their heart starts beating fast, you know, and to be honest, they probably do have some difficulties breathing. They have a lot of difficulties thinking, you know, they start thinking in their brain stem, in the back of their brain, in their reactive emotional part of their brain. Versus the frontal cortex, which is where you make decisions and so on.
And once that fills up with blood, that's it. It's over.
Right.
Sense of you being able to handle something new.
Yeah. And so I understand where the police are coming from, but I also understand where the other human being is coming from. You know, how do you deal with that kind of thing? You know, it's difficult. And so I was involved in this project once where we had the police officers sit down with youth who had been arrested and just sit over a cup of coffee, not even in the police station, but maybe, you know, at a Marie Callender's or something, and talk about what police do and how kids are afraid of them. You know, and it changed the police and it changed the kids. You know, change the officer and change the kid.
It's the whole thing.
Getting to know each other.
When you get to know the other person, isn't it just a faceless entity, I think. Now, that works for everybody. And, you know, the other thing that we've lost our ability to do is to be proud of our, not everybody, but be proud of our nation. Mm-hmm. And part of that is that we, as a people, work together to push our nation forward, and make it successful, then we're successful. But if we let ourselves be divided into these entities, which, frankly, I think the media is more than happy to do, is to divide us up and keep pushing that. And I think that that is one of the major problems we have, because every time you do try to get people together and something else happens, it becomes the most important thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, oh, look how bad we are. Well,
we do tend to focus on the bad.
Yeah.
We tend to focus on the bad and not focus on the good, you know, and I think that, that's a stretch for all of us.
Yeah. Well, let me take a quick break here.
Sure.
With Susan Wilson from the Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. And we'll be right back, because I want to talk about, you know, we talk about denigrating people for color. What about their religion?
Yeah. We denigrate people for a whole lot
that's
of
right.
different things. And that's why we're advocating respect now instead of just against racism.
Yeah. So this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive right here in Redding, the only full-service jewelry store in Redding. And this place, it's air-conditioned and all that, and one of the favorite places for Linda to hang out when she's got time.
Me too.
And, you know, aren't they such nice people in there? And they are more than happy to assist you in buying that special piece of jewelry. They're open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4, and they, like I said, they've got a full selection. They're the only people in town that can repair a watch. In fact, if your watch isn't working, bring it in there. If it just needs a battery, and you're in and out of there in 5 minutes. Four Winds Jewelry. We'll be right back with Susan Wilson. It is 8:30 in the morning. It's 76 degrees out there.
Get your morning update with us.
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
This is Redding Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Redding utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit RedingChamber.com or cityofredding.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in, which saves you time and money. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win. win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com and like us on Facebook. Or find Premier Oil Change in Wairika on Main Street behind the Valero Station. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Yeah, we're not going to take it anymore. Phone lines here are 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Jeff Wurst, if there's anything about repairing a windshield that he doesn't know, it's because it hasn't been invented yet. That's right. Jeff is a true professional from the old school. He doesn't want you to drive around with an unsafe windshield, whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length. Jeff can fix it. He's not going to waste your time. He's not going to take your money for a failed cause, you might say. He's going to make sure that windshield is fixed, and he guarantees it for life. Give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment, or just drop by 3208 South Market Street. Jeff Wurst and Crackmaster Windshield Repair, a veteran-owned business. I'm here with Susan Wilson from the Shasta County Citizens Advocate and Respect. It's a good thing you stopped by today, huh?
It's a good thing I stopped by today. Good thing you stopped by
today. Because the person coming in has not arrived. Has not arrived because somebody just woke him up and said, hey, it's 8:30.
Are you supposed to be somewhere?
You know, we're talking about, when we say advocate and respect, the word racism was in your title.
That's correct.
And you took that out because it's not racism. It's respect for all people.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we talked about this one lady who wrote a book, 2010, and has since upgraded it, The Cash In on the George Floyd Death. That's the way I kind of look like it. About the Jim Crow laws.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Crow laws. Can you explain what Jim Crow laws are for people that yes,
I'm going to give this my best shot.
Jim Crow laws came in. Yeah, because you hear it all the time.
Right. So, I mean, the history of how we treat actually people of color, specifically in this case, African Americans, probably. The issue goes back, of course, 400 years when they first hit our soil. But Jim Crow laws come from after the Civil War and trying to, for those people who don't know, Jim Crow was actually a minstrel type person. So there's even a kind of a layer of insult in the words Jim Crow laws. And Jim Crow laws were set up to enable individuals who had been freed and maybe didn't have much access to get somewhere. So they cover things like education,
mm-hmm.
jobs.
Segregation.
Right.
It was essentially what the Jim Crow laws were. The segregation
right.
of schools.
Equal water fountains.
Well,
equal.
It was separate,
sitting at the,
separate but equal is what they used.
Yeah.
And having grown up in the South, and as a child, I saw that.
Yeah.
And I went to segregated schools.
Uh-huh.
You know, at one time when I lived in North Carolina,
uh-huh.
I moved from North Carolina to Missouri. They were integrated, but the Jim Crow laws were set up specifically after the Civil
uh-huh.
War
uh-huh.
was to make things more palatable for the white population.
Exactly.
And less so for the black population.
Exactly.
And so you think of that when we go through the Civil Rights Act, people still marching in the 60s.
Right.
To be able to sit on a bus.
Right. And you may or may not know, you know, the Civil Rights Act of 1965 gave black women the right to vote. Black women did not get the right to vote in 1920 when white women got the right to vote. You know, you want to talk mm-hmm. about kind of an institutional bias. There's one for you.
Well, and President Woodrow Wilson, a Southern Democrat, initiated the segregation of the federal workplace. Up to then, it had been integrated,
mm-hmm.
and that was in 1913. So,
mm-hmm.
but it had been integrated until then. So that's what Jim Crow laws are. If you keep hearing about them, that's what it was. It
mm-hmm.
was a systematic,
separate but equal.
Yeah, separate but equal.
And it wasn't very equal, as it turned out.
Well, True. Now, when you talk about, when we talk about white privilege, because that made me bristle. In fact, we had a young man that worked here. I love this kid. But he was, he gets, you know, you got into your, you know, about white privilege. And it just, I mean, I just almost would go, whoops. And because I said, you know, I've worked pretty damn hard. My parents have worked really hard. Their parents were farmers. They worked really hard. It isn't about how hard you work, though.
No, it isn't.
It's got nothing to do about that you haven't earned what you have.
Yeah.
It's implicit because...
Right. And white privilege is sort of a hidden privilege that we don't even recognize ourselves if we are white people. You know, I call white privilege having a knapsack. We have a knapsack on our back that has identity. It has money. It has cards, credit cards. It has education and access to education. It has access to purchasing a home anywhere you want to purchase a home. It's like this knapsack, this invisible thing that we all carry as white privilege. And I don't think, and it goes to this implicit bias thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that, I'll personalize this. I don't think that I look at somebody and say, oh, I have white privilege. I think of myself as a person who's really accepting. I didn't even grow up in this country. I grew up all over the world. I went to school with kids all over the world who did not look the same as me. However, what we do carry in our brains is something called implicit bias. And that is, implicit bias would be, for example, I'm looking up the actual definition in the...
Yeah, because when you say implicit bias, you try to think that, well, I really try to be fair to all people.
Right. So implicit bias, and if you look it up in the dictionary, an implicit bias or unconscious, this is the trick of it. The unconscious bias or implicit stereotype is the unconscious attribution of particular qualities to an individual or to some kind of social group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so implicit bias, as we grow up, we hear things, we do things, we think about things, we get educated, all that stuff. But still, our brain forms ideas based on all of our experiences. And sometimes when we react automatically from our brain. Malcolm Gladwell in the word and the book Blink, you know, if you ever read, I love his books. So we react that fast.
Oh, yeah.
We react that fast. And that is implicit bias, you know. And so
and that
what,
can be, but that is not just in people, white people. That's
oh,
also,
no, it's in all of us.
Everybody looks at each other based on that, and so where a person of color could look at me being a white, older guy, think immediately, racist.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so a lot of racism is a result of implicit bias. I mean, I'll be honest. And it's, you know, I would say that I'm a person that would say I am not racist, period. I that's what I would say about myself. And yet I bet there are events that happen where I automatically react and go, there you go. You know, I think about it sometimes when I, for example, when I hear people talk with a different accent or something.
If you have a southern accent, obviously you're racist. But there's people like Judy Salter and others around here that come from the south, Mimi Mosley.
Yeah.
That... I'm not saying we don't have implicit racism in us, but just because you're raised in the South doesn't mean that you're going to be a racist.
Right. So one of the things that we have to do in our world is separate this implicit bias from explicit bias. Explicit bias would be when I see a black person coming down the road, I get on the other side of the street, or I say something rude or whatever. You know, it's an out front obvious. That's what explicit.
Oh, explicit. Okay,
explicit.
Got it. Okay.
So I'm for the listeners. I want to say, you know, there is implicit, which is internalized unconscious bias, and there's explicit, which is obvious bias.
Somebody said in here, you know, when we're talking about people of color, it's one thing, but when you get an organization like Bethel, I don't go to Bethel. I have never attended a service from Bethel. I do know a lot of people that go to Bethel and businesses. It seems like there's a concerted group of people that hate Bethel. And they've got Facebook pages. They write things in a news cafe. And that Bethel is constantly under attack. Is this a form of
bias. It's a form of discrimination.
It's a discrimination.
Absolutely.
When you want to boycott a business because they go to a church that believes in God, believes in forgiveness and all this. I mean, it's not, you know, they call it a cult. They can call it everything. But isn't that a form of...
It's a form of discrimination.
Yeah, it is.
You know? And it's interesting to me, you know, Bethel has made itself a very strong component of our culture here in Shasta County.
Absolutely.
You know, for a whole variety of things. And they run many businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I eat at their businesses. It's good food.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I buy the bread, whatever. So, I mean, one thing that you could do is even just take a step away from Bethel and into, we don't like Muslims because they're different. And I think the Bethel is no different than we don't like the people that go to Bethel Church. They're no different. And, again, what we need to do is sit down and talk to them.
Yeah, I think that, you know, because you don't like something one of the leaders of their church said does not mean everybody in that church believes that. It just means is that was his opinion. And, you know, a lot of times we take opinions of one person and then we just kind of, we let that go over everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, well, if he feels like that, then 8,000 other members of Bethel feel the same way.
I was just going to say, and that's where implicit bias comes in. We group people automatically without thinking.
You know what I really think is that everybody in the nation, everybody, when you turn the age of 17 or 18, when you graduate from high school, we need to have a national boot camp where we take people from, you know, like we used to during the draft, and put them into a 12-week situation where everybody gets their hair cut and you're taken down to the lowest level and you're taught to work together. Mm-hmm. And after that 12 weeks, send them home.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have learned to work with people of all different races, all different religions, and it puts you at the lowest level of a worm. And then they, let you, you know, then they build you back up again.
And I mean, to be honest, we have programs that broach on that. Vista volunteers, mm-hmm. AmeriCorps members, Peace Corps. You know, sending kids overseas to really see how other parts of the world work.
Well, and I think that we got to take a break.
Yeah.
That's one of the things is when people are knocking America. You've lived all over the world. Mm-hmm. I've been all over the world, and I've lived in different countries. Mm-hmm. Is that every time I come back from no matter where it is, Italy. I came back, and the reason so many Italians want to come to America is because America is free. They've got a better chance in service there. I mean, if you want a phone here in America, you get it the next day. In Italy, maybe not. So this is such a great country that people don't realize it, though. We're telling kids that this is a bad, racist, unfair country, and yet it's still...
We are a good...
We still are that shining
city
on the hill.
We are an outstanding country.
We are. All right, let's take a quick break. And speaking of outstanding, Cornerstone Community Bank, locally owned, locally operated, board of directors are local. They are a community-oriented bank dedicated to helping our community. They are constantly moving our local dreams forward. They are the ones that stepped up during the first part of this shutdown and came and were helping people dramatically. Tens of millions of dollars, saving thousands of jobs right here in our community when it came for that Paycheck Protection Program. And you didn't have to even be a customer of Cornerstone Community Bank. They were helping anybody that they could because it was good for the community. I can't say more than if you're looking for a bank that really has your back, think about Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back with Susan Wilson.
The I'm senators, congressmen, please eat the car.
Working from home? Conference calls?
You're still on mute, John.
With everything we have going on right now, it's never been more important to get the sleep we need. Quality sleep is a natural immune booster, and only the Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides. Your Sleep Number setting. So, all those other things we're doing to stay healthy and happy, well, they'll work better too. Save 25% on the Sleep Number 360 C4 smart bed with any smart adjustable base. Plus, special financing on all smart beds. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
SST Oil on Wyndham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studio. It's KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is our last segment here at 8:52 in the morning here on the 20th of July. 2020, 76 degrees, going up to 106 degrees today. Brought to you by the Weather Reports, brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Yeah, you know, you might be thinking, because it's, remember, we have Newsom at noon. You never can tell what that little devil's going to shut down next. I mean, he's kind of like, he kind of gets that look on his face, and he kind of goes, oh, yeah, I think I'll just shut down all the restaurants this week and not give them a warning. So it could be he could go, oh, well, you know what, I just, you know, I'm feeling peckish today, so I'm going to shut down all the beauty salons and everything. Gavin can do that. So you might want to get down to Cypress Square Barbershop right away and get your haircut. I'm there Wednesday. And it's a great place to get a haircut. They do everything you could possibly do to keep somebody safe. They're, you know, disposable aprons, sanitizing the chair, everything. And they wear masks while they're cutting your hair, and you wear a mask while you're sitting there, while you're chit-chatting with them. They go by appointments, 244-9478. It's Man's Last Stronghold. Get down there. I'm here with Susan Wilson from Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect, and I've known Susan for years now. Usually on other things. We talk about other
things. We did the soup kitchen.
Love the soup kitchen. We really enjoyed going down there for that.
Yeah, that was just great.
It was.
I love the
soup
kitchen.
It's fun, but we're not having any of those things.
I don't think the soup kitchen exists today. I don't know. I'm not in charge.
Oh, that's right.
I'm not in charge. I like to dabble and then move on.
Dabble and move on, yeah. Okay, part of this whole movement, which I think has gotten totally out of hand, it's one thing to advocate for respect inequality. It's something else when we get into destruction of buildings and businesses. But mm-hmm. now our history mm-hmm. is being taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people don't like to hear it, you know, that people like, you know, Stalin got rid of them, Mao got rid of statues and historical monuments, and that they wiped out history before them.
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing that right now?
I worry about that, to be honest, because, you know, since I'm a person that says civil discourse, I really think that we need to look at our history, look at what happened,
mm-hmm.
take what happened and do better.
And learn,
you know,
from it.
And learn from it. So I have to say I struggle with this tearing things down and changing names and so on. I think I understand when the Washington Redskins want to change their name.
Well, they don't want to change their name.
They don't want to change their name, but somebody else wants them to change
their
name, is what I understand.
All of their big advertisers are saying you might want to think about it. Well, they've already done it. They've done away with the Redskins name.
Yeah. So, you know, again, it comes to what does a certain group want? And so this is the tribalism that is also part of the soul of people. You know, we tend to group in the groups that we want. We adopt the thinking of the groups that we want. We listen to the news
and those articles that we agree with.
Right.
Yeah.
And we acculturate ourselves to our tribe. And so one of the things that I think that we see in the United States right now is really tribalism showing its head. You know, people have grown up, they are acculturated to certain kinds of beliefs, and then they say, well, let's change that. Now, if you go to those statues, I mean, I lived in North Carolina too, mm-hmm. and you lived in North Carolina, and I think that we need to change the way that we look at what the statues represent. The statues represent our history.
Right.
They, much more than, well, that we could make them celebrate our history much more than we could celebrate the individual maybe that's on the top of the horse.
Yeah.
You know, I think, especially if you are a person of color, we need to keep that history right in front of us. We need to keep that history in front of us and use it as we form our new culture or change our culture or
maybe another part of the monument is another sign putting it maybe into more, you know, saying this is a period of our history when this happened. But you're right. Once we erase it, we can repeat it then.
Right. You know, so I mean, recently a cathedral was burned in France.
Yeah.
Burned to the ground. I guess this one was not burned.
No, it was
badly.
It was barely burned.
But it was burned because the Catholics, I mean, they did some pretty nasty things through the world. And yet, are we going to do away with the Catholics? I don't think so.
Are we going to do away with every name that was associated with St. Louis?
Yeah. Or are we even going to find more names and build a true history in our history books?
Yeah.
I think our history books are pretty flat. You know, they're pretty easy on
vanilla?
Some of the history.
Are they vanilla?
Vanilla.
Are they pretty vanilla?
Yeah.
But it also has to put things in the context.
Mm-hmm.
We have put men on the moon. We have done so many things. We have saved this world twice from wars, during the wars. Things have to be put in context. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, yes, we've had our problems.
And still have our problems,
but we are still, we do advocate for respect. We do want to make things better, but we can't do that by tearing things down. It just further divides the people.
Mm-hmm.
Tearing down a statue of Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the first one here. Well, I guess, really, if you wanted to, you could go after the Vikings, because they were the first ones here.
The Vikings beat Columbus.
That's right. Beat them by, you know, maybe even
a century.
I don't understand tearing down our history, because it doesn't meet our, you know, what we believe today. I mean, should we just tear down everything that happened before a certain time?
Mm-hmm.
Should we take a look? shouldn't we put it in context?
Build it into a history lesson, you know, right there.
Washington, the father of our country, was a slave owner. Mm-hmm. Well, what's that mean? Except we've just run out of time. Every month, Susan or one of her people from the Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect will be with us.
Thank you.
What is this? The third Monday. Third Monday of every month.
And we'll post on Facebook next time.
Okay. And so thank you so much for coming in here. You're such a great person. All right.